And our passage is 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 3 through 16, a bit of an extended passage, and you've been sitting down for a little bit, and I'm going to ask you to stand to give honor to the reading of God's word, as is our custom. This is a way that we show to God that we are listening and that our hearts are attuned and our wills and our minds are engaged in the word of God. So 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 through 16, please give attention to the reading of God's word. Honor widows who are widows indeed. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. But she who gives herself to wanton pleasure is dead even while she lives. Prescribe these things as well, so that they may be above reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. A widow is to be put on the list only if she is not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, having a reputation for good works, and if she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitalities to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in distress, and if she has devoted herself to every good work. But refuse to put younger widows on the list, for when they feel sensual desires in disregard of Christ, they want to get married, thus incurring condemnation because they have set aside their previous pledge. At the same time, they also learn to be idle, and they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. Therefore, I want younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach. For some have already turned aside to follow Satan. If any woman who is a believer has dependent widows, she must assist them, and the church must not be burdened, so that it may assist those who are widows indeed. And God's people said, amen. Thank you. And thank you from the Amen Corner. Only some of you know what that means. So who is to provide for widows? Who is to do that? Who is to provide for widows? This passage demonstrates to us that Paul has more to say about widows than any other group in our study of 1 Timothy. So the question is, who is to provide for these widows? A little bit of background is about widows and orphans. Widows and orphans are spoken of throughout the scripture. Old Testament law and the prophets. Here are a couple of passages. Deuteronomy 24:19 says, "When you reap your harvest in your field and have forgotten a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the alien, for the orphan, for the widow, in order that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work in your hands." We'll have those up on the screen here. Isaiah 1:17, "Learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, plead for the widow." In Psalm 69:5, "A father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows is God in his holy habitation." Did those slides not get loaded in or something? I'm sorry, I'm just talking to our guy back here. Yeah. Psalm 69 tells us that God is the father to the fatherless, and he's the judge for widows. He takes care of the widows. And remember when we looked at the responsibilities of deacons in the church in Jerusalem, they went to great lengths to come to the aid of widows. And they did that. And James 1:27 says, "Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God and in the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world." James 1:27. So throughout the scriptures, we see over and over again that widows and orphans have an important place in the church. So we have to remember that. That's one of the reasons that he gives a lot of attention to widows. But also the context of our passage, looking at the overall context of what Paul is dealing with Timothy. He's telling Timothy to speak to the false teachers who are inspired with demonic false teaching, doctrine. And then in chapter 3, he said, I write to you so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. We've looked at this. Paul said, I'm writing to you so that everyone will know how we are to conduct ourselves in the family of God. This is the family. And great is the mystery of godliness. How are we to conduct ourselves in godliness? And what is godliness? Godliness is living out your faith. And he would say in the next chapter, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And the word godliness is used for the pastoral epistles probably more than any other passage. So he says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And then I want to pick up where we left off last time in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1, where he said to Timothy, do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, to the older women as mothers, and to the younger women as sisters in all purity. Timothy's going to have to confront some of the errant elders. Timothy is going to have to confront some of the widows as mothers. Timothy is going to have to confront some of the younger widows as sisters in all purity. And Paul gave him that advice up front. As you are dealing with this situation, you need to be careful how you deal with it. Do not sharply rebuke people. So as we read the passage, you wonder why such detailed instructions about widows. Because he wants them to know, and he wants us to know, he wanted Timothy to know and the church to know who should be helped by the church and who should not be helped by the church. There is a list that was given. There was a very specific description of godly widows. There was an age restriction that was given. And then there is this very specific list of sins of these younger widows. It's kind of like, gulp, what is going on here? It all adds up to this. Paul is addressing a very, very specific situation in Ephesus. This is not hypothetical. This happened in Ephesus. And so by looking at the passage, before we get into it, here basically what is happening. He is addressing younger women, younger widows in the church whose behavior is ungodly. They're following after Satan because of the false teaching of the false prophets. And some of them are living lives of sensuality and sexual promiscuity, and they are gossips and they are busybodies, and they're taking advantage of the situation because the church in Ephesus is supporting the older widows, it's supporting the younger widows, it's giving them financial support every month or every week, and the younger widows are gaming the system. And they have too much time on their hands. And they're being led astray by the enemy because the enemy's teachings, remember, are demonically inspired. And so some of them are leaving the faith and marrying unbelievers. And Paul is saying, we've got to put a stop to this. So he's providing guidelines for who should get help as widows, who should not be supported as widows. And he wants to make sure that the widows who are real widows, who really are in need, are taken care of. That's the bottom line. Because he doesn't want the church to be overburdened. So, who is to provide for widows? Verse 3 says this, honor widows who are widows indeed. Widows indeed is variously translated in different translations as truly widows, those who are truly in need, those who are widows who are left alone. He's talking about this, a woman who has, her husband has died. She has no visible means of support. She's been left alone. She doesn't have any property. She doesn't have any family. She doesn't have any income. She's most likely destitute. And she's older. We'll see that through the passage. And he's not talking about younger widows here. You know, we don't see this too often in our culture today, we don't see many widows who are truly destitute, who absolutely have no income whatsoever. In today's world of Social Security and pensions, maybe she worked or her husband worked, or maybe there were investments, or maybe there's disability, or maybe there is savings. Most widows have some sort of income today. It's not a lot for many, but it would have been a lot more than the widows in Ephesus. Some of them were totally without support, without family. They had nothing. They had no place to turn to. So when Paul says, honor widows who are widows indeed, he doesn't just mean show them respect as in honor. He's saying honor them as in taking care of them, supporting them financially, physically, because of their needs. So, who is to provide for widows? Family first. Family first to provide for their own. Family first to provide for their own. Verse 4 says, but in contrast to widows who have no support at all, who have no family, who are destitute, he says in verse 4, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, they, that is the children or the grandchildren, must first learn to practice piety. And it is the word godliness. I'm not sure why the New American Standard translated it as piety, but it is that word godliness that's used throughout. Let the children and grandchildren practice godliness themselves in regard to their own family and make some return to their parents. For this is acceptable in the sight of God. Why is this acceptable in the sight of God? Because of the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. Of course it's acceptable in the sight of God to take care of your parents, to take care of your grandmother who is a widow. Family is always in first place, not the government, not the church. Family first. You know, we oftentimes have people who call the church, and all churches have this. People will call, or they'll come by in the front door, and they want help. Sometimes it's men, sometimes it's women. And we're happy to help people, because I think we should. I think we should be a testimony of love to our community. And we don't know them, and we certainly don't have anything against helping people that we don't know. But we always ask a set of questions, and one of our deacons, we actually have a process that we send people to him, and he talks to them over the phone, and we have a means by which they can ask for help formally from the church. But oftentimes, we who are here have to just make a decision on the spot, and someone may call, say it's a woman, and she says, I need some help with my electric bill. Can you help me? And I ask her name, and then I get asking a few questions. And one of the questions that I always ask very directly but very gently is, how is your family helping you? Because that's one of the most important questions. And if they say, well, my family's not helping me, I will say, why is your family not helping you? And I tell them, because this is what the Bible teaches, is that your family is in first place to help you. And many times I've told people, before they come back to us, I want you to go to your kids, and I want you to tell them what your need is. You need $300 for this electric bill or this gas bill, and I want you to go to each of your kids and see if they will help you out. Because that's the proper thing. That's the proper thing to do, is that family comes first. Paul then, after just introducing that idea, he introduces the idea that there are both worthy widows and there are unworthy widows in the elder category. Verse 5, he says, now she who is a widow indeed is she's left alone, she has no means of support, no family. She has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. This is a godly woman who has fixed her hope on God. She has not fixed her hope on the government. She has not fixed her hope in the family, because she has none. She has fixed her hope on God to provide for her needs, and God will do that to the church. But in contrast, he says in verse 6, she who gives herself to wanton pleasure is dead even while she lives. And so immediately he's setting up very briefly that there are some people that are worthy of help, and there are some that we probably should not help because of their behavior, because of their lifestyle. So there are some older widows due to wanton pleasure, which means it could mean luxurious living, or they're just not interested in the Lord. They're not living. The contrast is clear. You have older widows who are living a godly life, depending upon God, and you have another widow who is not. But then Paul returns to the family first policy, where he says in verses 7 and 8, and it's very strong language for all of us, prescribe these things as well, so that they may be above reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. When he says prescribe and teach these things, he's talking about to family members, that you have a responsibility to mom and to grandma who, when they're widows. And if anyone does not do that, he says they've denied the faith and they're worse than an unbeliever. Paul is not saying that they have given up on their personal faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior, but he's saying they have denied what the faith is all about. They have denied the faith. And the principles of the faith is that family is first. The principles of the gospel is that we help and we're kind and we love and we're compassionate and we're gracious, and especially to our own family, because we're living out our faith in Jesus Christ. And he says they're worse than an unbeliever, and that's not meaning that we're doing anything worse than an unbeliever, because in the Roman culture at this time, it was the responsibility of children to take care of their parents. So if Christians are not even meeting the current standard of the culture, then we're worse than unbelievers. God requires more of us to help our parents, to help our aged parents. Paul ends the whole section with the same thought in verse 16, where he says, if any woman who is a believer has dependent widows, she must assist them, and the church must not be burdened. So if there's a woman who, maybe she's a widow, maybe she's not, but she has a sister, a mother, an aunt, whomever is dependent upon her, she must give her support to that person and not burden the church. So family first, ladies and gentlemen. Take care of mom and dad. Take care of grandma and grandpa. We'll come back to that in the end. But what if there's no family? What about the fact that oftentimes there is no family around, and what do we do with widows like that? These are the widows indeed. These are the true widows. They have no family. They have no pension. They have no Social Security. They have nothing to live upon. So the church's responsibility for widows: family first, churches in second place. The church's responsibility for widows is to provide support for godly older widows. To provide support for godly older widows. He says in verse 9, a widow is to be put on the list only if she's not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, having a reputation for good works, and if she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in distress, and if she has devoted herself to every good work. He says there are three qualifications. And by the way, Paul is not prescribing that they come up with a list. The church in Ephesus already had a list. Probably because, like the church in Jerusalem, they had a lot of widows, a plethora of widows, and they had to administrate it, and so they were keeping track of their widows so that they might properly shepherd them. So Paul is addressing the list that the church in Ephesus already has. And in so doing, he gives here are the character qualifications for the support of older godly widows. These are qualifications. She must be at least 60 years old. We don't do that with our list. We don't have an age requirement. And in the Roman world, 60 years old was about the age where people retired, so it was more of a cultural thing. And they were probably doing that at that time. Probably too, Paul was trying to pare back the list so that the church was not overburdened, because most likely their finances were stretched because they were giving so much support to widows. Second of all, she should have been, must have been, devoted to her husband. She should be a one-woman man, not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man. It's the same phrase of elders' response, the qualification of elders to be a one-woman man, and she is to be a one-man woman. In other words, she was devoted to her husband while he was in this life. And third, she has a reputation. She's got a good reputation. A reputation of godliness. A reputation for doing good works. She's raised her children. She was devoted to them. She's practiced hospitality, the love of strangers. In the ancient Near East, to practice hospitality is what everyone did. Believer and unbeliever alike, if you saw someone that was traveling through your community and they didn't have a place to stay, you invited them in for a meal and a place to sleep. And she was to have practiced service to the church, washing the feet of the saints. In any household, when someone came into your house, whether you're practicing hospitality or a friend or a believer that came in, the servant or the household leader would wash their feet, because they would take off their sandals and they would wash their feet and wash the dirt and the dust off of a person's feet. But Paul also has in mind the teaching of Jesus here. The night in which he was betrayed, and he had his disciples, and he girded himself with a towel, and he got down on his knees, and he washed the feet of his disciples, and he said, "What I am doing to you, you are to do to one another." Humble service. And so these are widows who have humbly served other believers in the church. And they've helped those who were in distress, those who were needy, those who were afflicted. Helping orphans, perhaps, and generally a life characterized by good works. A lesson for us is simple. Godly widows play an important role in the life of our church. Godly widows play an important role in the life of Valley Bible Church. Widows are oftentimes the backbone of a church, because they're prayer warriors, because they are servants, because they are a source of wise counsel, because they mentor young women and even young men at times if necessary. When my wife and I were in our first church, there was a woman in our church whose name was Iris, and we first met her when her husband was dying in the hospital, and I was called to go in and witness to him, and he came to Christ on his deathbed. And Iris had been LDS her entire life. She had one of 12 kids. And in the intervening years afterwards, she grew in godliness and an understanding of the scriptures. And she was a prayer warrior, and she was wise. And there was one time where Tara and I were making an important decision. We got other help as well, but we thought, we're going to go to Iris, because she's a widow indeed, and because she is a wise woman, and because she has demonstrated godliness, and she gave us wise counsel. And even pastors need counsel from women sometimes, and we did that. So, godly widows play an important role in the life of our church, and as I look out, I see some of our godly widows, and we have many more, and they are often, like I said, the godly backbone of a church, because they keep it afloat with their prayers and their service. So the church has a responsibility to provide support for godly, older widows, but the church does not have a responsibility to ungodly younger widows. The church's responsibility for widows is to not provide for ungodly younger widows. He says, but refuse, in verse 11, refuse to put younger women on the list. Don't put the younger women on the list. And he explains why. And remember, this explanation has already happened. He's telling them what has happened, and we're working backwards to see why it is he is addressing this problem. Don't put them on the list for support, because they had been on support. For when they feel sensual desires in disregard of Christ, they want to get married. Now, that's not a bad thing, is it, for a younger woman to get married, a younger widow to get married? It's not. In fact, he's going to say in a minute, I want the younger widows to get married. But there was a group of these widows who were being supported by the church, and they were younger, and they had natural desires, and their desires, their sensual sexual desires, meant that they were pursuing a man. That was their focus, not the man, Christ. They were pursuing a man. And most likely it says this, they were incurring condemnation because they have set aside their previous pledge. Curious phrase. Some think that there was a pledge of singleness that they had taken when they entered the list of widows. Some think that it was a pledge of service to the church. But the word pledge means faith. That's all it is. They have set aside their faith. So they want to get married, thus incurring condemnation, because they have set aside their previous faith, their life, living according to the faith, marrying a believing husband. These women were just going to marry the first guy that came along because they wanted to get out. Paul's going to tell them, I want the younger women to be married, obviously marrying a Christian, but marrying an unbeliever, then there, of course, what happened is there was public condemnation in the church because of their lifestyle and because of the fact that they are marrying unbelievers. Paul's going to give preference, his preference, that the younger women are to get married, younger widows. But the ungodly widows are setting aside their faith, and they're marrying unbelievers, and their sensual desires and their longing to remarry, it outweighs their love of Christ. And so therefore, marrying outside of the faith brought reproach to the church. Then he goes on to describe what they're doing. He says, at the same time, they learn to be idle. How did they learn to be idle? They're taught this. They're gaming. They're learning the system. Hey, we're supported. We've got all this time on our hands because the church is supporting us. And it says that they go around from house to house. They're meeting with one another. Come over for coffee. You know, not merely idle, but they're gossips. They're busybodies. And they're talking about things not proper to mention. Who knows what they're talking about? All sorts of ungodly things. If they were to do a modern day reality show like Real Housewives of Atlanta, this would be Real Widows of Ephesus. The description's horrible. It's going to happen to men as well as women, but this is a situation that was really happening in Ephesus, and Paul is describing it in all of its horribleness. So the character of these younger widows that disqualified them from support was they were marrying unbelievers, they were bringing condemnation to the name of Christ because they abandoned their faith, they had this free support of the church, and they had this idle time. And you know what happens when you got too much time on your hands? And they spent all their time as busybodies talking and gossiping about other people. And it's just plain wrong. So we do not have a responsibility to those who are living ungodly lives. However, a lesson for us, we do have a responsibility to appeal to these younger women as sisters in all purity. Back to chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. If we have anyone in our congregation who is living like this, widow or young woman or not, that's why Paul said to Timothy, don't sharply rebuke someone. Appeal to a younger woman as your sister in purity. This is one of the reasons he added the phrase in purity, because these women would have been a danger to Timothy himself. So, we have a responsibility to provide for godly widows. We do not have a responsibility to provide for ungodly widows. In fact, we have a responsibility as a church to help certain people And we have a responsibility as a church to not help certain people. Do you know why? Because all of the finances that we have belong to God. And we, as church leaders, we are responsible to you for your kindly gifts because you have sacrificed and given. And so it is our responsibility to use wisely those finances and to help people that the scriptures say should be helped. We're not helping people if we're putting them on the dole. We're not helping people if we're taking away an opportunity to make a living. Unfortunately, in our society right now, single moms, for instance, a young woman who gets on assistance, she can't get off. Because if she gets a job, then her monthly stipend is lessened, and then she can't pay for childcare, and it's a vicious cycle. Therein comes the help of the church, perhaps. So what about godly younger widows? We do have a responsibility to provide guidance for younger godly widows. He says in verse 14, "Therefore, I want younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach, for some have already turned aside to Satan." It's the previous list. Some have already turned aside to Satan through the false teaching of the false teachers. They've given up the faith. They've married unbelievers. They've been involved in promiscuity. They're gossips and idle. And he's saying you need to protect those who have not fallen prey to this. And he says one of the ways that we do this is we provide guidance. We provide shepherding for young women. We protect them from Satan by the church itself. And through marriage and family, if possible. This is not a command when he says, I want younger widows to get married. He doesn't say, I command younger widows to get married. He's saying, this is the best way to go for a younger woman. If she can remarry a godly husband and be taken care of and have children and keep house and have a household responsibility, bear children, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach as the ungodly younger widows have done. By the way, in Roman society, in fact, it was a Roman law that a widow of 50 years age or younger was the law that she must remarry within 2 years of the death of her husband. Yeah, we don't have that, though. But that's quite an interesting law. So Paul ends the entire discussion, again, verse 16, we referenced it earlier. He says, if any woman who is a believer has dependent widows, if there's a woman in the church and she has widows who are dependent upon her, a sister, an aunt, a mother, she must assist them. Why? So that the church not be burdened. Why not be burdened? So that they might assist those who have real needs. There's a hierarchy of help. We have to make sure that we are helping those that are living for the Lord and those who are thumbing their nose in the face of Christ. We're not helping them when we give them financial support. So, at Valley Bible Church, we have a ministry to widows. I've never been in a church, either leading a church or attending a church, that has had such a developed ministry as we do. And at Valley Bible Church, we actually go beyond what is stressed here. We don't have an age limit. We don't restrict our help to women that are just widowed. We, on our widows list, we call it a widows list, but we have some women that were never married. We have some women that are not married. Maybe they have been abandoned by their spouses. And we have some widows. And so we see that women who are unattached and do not have a family, they are vulnerable. And we see it as our responsibility to provide for them the best that we can. We don't provide a monthly stipend. Could you imagine? We have something like close to 50 widows. Can you imagine if we gave them all a $1,000 stipend every month? Like, this is what the church in Ephesus was doing. They were giving the church, these women, money every month. we would be overburdened, obviously. But what do we provide? We provide pastoral support. Our deacons have a list. Each deacon has a list of several widows, and it's their responsibility to call them. If they need advice about finances, we will help them. We'll find someone to help them. If they need repairs, we will help them. If they have occasional financial needs, we will help them, but we're not going to pay their rent. Most women have some sort of income that helps them to pay the basics of life, but sometimes life is tough for a single woman, whether she's widowed or divorced, and we're here to help them. So we have a responsibility to these ladies, and we take it very, very seriously, and we pray for them. And many of these ladies are, again, the backbone of the church. They're women who are serving, and they're women who love the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're godly, and we're glad to help them. Obviously, if there were women that were living a life of luxury and did not have anything to do with the things of Christ, we would probably appeal to them as a sister and try and pull them back to the faith. So we have a responsibility as a church to help those who have needs, but we also have a responsibility to not help those that it would be worse to help them. So here are three principles as we close. Number one, family first. Take care of your aging parent. How many of you are in the midst of taking care of aging parents right now? Yeah, my hand is up. Yes. I've got three hands out of these two people over here. Many of you are taking care of aging parents, and you know how hard it is. We've been doing it since we were in seminary. The first issue that came up to us was many, many, many years ago. Family first. Help them financially, if necessary, if possible. But also provide for them guidance and protection. And give to them advice that they need. You know, there are all sorts of scammers out there. Make sure your parents are not falling prey to scammers. You need to take care of your parents. It is the first commandment with a promise to honor your father and mother, no matter how old you are, to take care of them. And so, if you're not taking care of aging parents yet, you will, and some of you have already done that, and they're gone. But you know how hard it is, but you know that family comes first. Second of all, church family comes second. We need to take care of our widows. And we take that seriously. If you have questions about that, or if you're a widow who's not on our list, please let me know this morning, because we want to help you. We want to take care of you. Or if you want to find out how you might be able to help our widows, let me know that as well, because there's always ways that we can help. We're always looking for someone to go fix a leaky faucet, to paint a cabinet, to change a tire, to do some mechanic work, or to do something. And if you would like to be on the list to help our widows, please, we need to take care of them, because they're truly widows in need. And the third thing is this: value and honor our elder saints. Value and honor our elder saints. Those who are older, widows, widowers. We have a number of widowers in our church. They all have great value to Valley Bible Church, because they've lived long and they've walked with God long. They've had successful marriages. They've gone through difficulties, and they stood the test of time, and they have wisdom, and they have energy a little bit left. And if you are one of those elder saints, do not retire. Yeah, I worked hard and it's time for me to retire from everything, including church. No. You are at a time in your life where you have more to offer than at any other time. You have more wisdom. You have more understanding of the scriptures. You have been trained by God and His Spirit. And now is the time to use your giftedness. And now is the time to use your wisdom for Him. So we must always value and honor our elder saints. With that, would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is true. We thank you, Father, for giving to us godly leadership in our elders and our deacons who take seriously the role of taking care of our elder saints, particularly our widows and our women who do not have husbands. We pray for those ladies that you would provide for them, that you would help them to be prayer warriors, that you would help them to mentor other women, that you would provide their physical needs, their spiritual needs, and that we would not be remiss as a church in helping them in every need. So we thank you, Father, as we are obedient to the word of God, we know that you will bless us. For widows and orphans have a special place in your heart, for you are Father to them. And may we work in your stead to them. In Jesus' name, amen.